Chapter 44.
Reese Amps was put in a separate, locked room on the ship during the short trip to Five Points. Jin didn't see him again until they docked on the station, and two stormtroopers unlocked his room and led him silently off the ship. Another stormtrooper guarded Jin, and after several long minutes, he led her off the transport ship as well. There was no sign of the other stormtroopers or Reese. No sign of any other ship on this level. The long expanse of ports was empty and silent, save for Jin, the stormtrooper, and the sleek transport shuttle. The stormtrooper walked a little behind Jin, on high alert, despite the fact that the bay was empty. It surprised Jin. She hadn't thought Commander Solange was capable of running an efficient troop. At the end of the bay, the stormtrooper nudged Jin to a small, private turbo lift. They went up three floors, then got out on a hallway that Jin recognized as the Imperial headquarters on the station.
"That way,"
the stormtrooper said, pushing Jin down the hall toward Commander Solange's office. Although she was wearing a heavy coat that was making her sweat on the warm station, Jin felt a little naked without her usual access to at least some form of weapon. She felt like a nerf being led to a rancor's den. The stormtrooper stopped outside the door to Commander Solange's office. He pressed a button, and the sleek enameled door slid open. The stormtrooper did not move to enter the room, but nodded for Jin to do so. She stepped inside, her chin tilted up, her spine straight.
"Yes," drawled a voice on the opposite side of the room. "I can see why you thought she was a good choice, Solange."
Jin felt a chill move down her spine, one that seemed to undermine her false bravado.
"Who are you?" she asked.
The woman tilted her head, her ice-blue eyes narrowing just a tiny bit.
"Speak only when spoken to," she said in an even voice that brooked no argument.
Jin found she had none to give. Jin examined the woman's insignia plaque. She was an admiral. Her crisp gray uniform was impeccable, making her pale skin look even whiter in contrast. Her platinum blonde hair was braided so tightly it made Jin's head ache. The only real color on her, aside from her insignia plaque, was on her long eyelashes, which had been tinted red. The admiral glanced at a file.
"Our records show you gave us the name Tanith Ponta," she said in a bored voice, "but you were under the alias Liana Halleck when our troopers picked you up."
She looked up, analyzing Jin.
"Which is your real name?"
When Jin didn't answer, she added,
"You may speak now."
"Halleck," Jin said. The admiral nodded.
She put the file on the desk, angling it so Jin could see her own image, with the name Liana Halleck emblazoned across the top, followed by the ident code she'd forged when she first started using that name.
As she'd suspected, the troopers had pillaged her room after taking her and assumed the scan dock she'd left there was real. The admiral waved her hand at Commander Solange.
"We've been looking for you, Liana," the commander said. "Where have you been?"
Jin leveled a cold stare at her and didn't answer.
Where had she been?
In the Anoat system, working on a Tabana gas tanker, bouncing around the mid-rim for a bit, Saria and Coyerti, before settling in Takodana for nearly a year, on a freighter that needed clearance codes and no questions asked for so long that Jin had forgotten the smell of fresh air by the time she switched jobs and went planetside again.
"Around," Jin answered.
"Yes, well," Commander Solange said, frowning. "We have a job for you. There's a rebel cell in the area that we want to crush."
The admiral cleared her throat.
"That we will crush," Commander Solange amended. "A partisan group that is particularly vicious.
They've been using the criminal Reese Amps as a source for clearance codes that have enabled them to bypass the security measures we've implemented in the system. She raised her eyebrows, and Jin knew that everyone in the room was well aware that the codes had actually come from her. Reese Amps is, sadly, ill-informed of where this partisan group is actually located, the Admiral commented, speaking in an impatient voice. Admiral Rockwin has implemented a plan that should help us locate the main base of the partisan group, Commander Solange continued. With Reese Amps arrested, they will need a new way to bypass our checkpoints, and we want you to give it to them. But we have a bit of additional code for you to add that will enable us to better keep tabs on this group. This ship is the Little Bee that will lead us to the Hive. Jin thought about trying to protest that she knew nothing about forgery, but she sensed it would be futile and only anger the Admiral. I don't have a code replicator with me, she said instead. Commander Solange reached into her desk and withdrew a new code replicator. Jin opened it and scanned the contents, noting the tracker program already installed on the device. What will my payment be? Jin asked. The Admiral stared at Jin just long enough for Jin to be uncomfortable. Not long enough to reasonably break her gaze. This way, Admiral Rockwin said finally, striding toward the door. She didn't turn around. She expected Jin and Commander Solange to follow her, and knew they would. Jin followed the Admiral down the white-tiled hallway and through a door with a high security lock, guarded by a pair of Imperial privates. The room past the door was dimly lit and smelled odd, like a combination of burning and something else, something metallic. Hello, Bard B, the Admiral said in a pleasant voice. For the first time, Jin noticed a pale white creature strung up in the center of the room. The creature was diamond-shaped, the torso about as tall as Jin, but with almost translucent membranes connecting the top of the head to the tips of the fingers, and then another membrane connecting the fingers all the way to the ankles. The Wraith people are very strange, the Admiral said to Jin, as if this were a casual observation. They're amphibious, did you know? Yes, Jin whispered. She remembered the first time she'd seen a Wraith, on Inusagi, where they'd been pleading with stormtroopers to allow them entrance to the palace. They had been so elegant and beautiful, soaring through the waters of the azure pools. When they had wrapped their thin membranes around themselves like robes, they had seemed noble and tall. So it was especially strange and cruel to see this Wraith exposed the way he was. His arms were stretched out to their maximum length, held painfully in place by a pair of magnetic cuffs built into the wall. The Wraith kept straining against the cuffs, his instinct to cover his body, overriding the pain of the restraints on his bruised and bloody wrists. His face was mostly flat, with a little bump and two slits for a nose, and a flat, long, horizontal slit for a mouth. The Wraith's eyes were milky white, and a glue-like mucus dripped from his eyes and down his face. He was crying. This particular Wraith is proving rather difficult, the Admiral continued, her voice light. He has worked with the partisan group we've been targeting for years, and we're certain he knows the location of the group's headquarters and main operation paths. But he just won't talk.
With each of these last words, the Admiral gently slapped the side of the Wraith's face, then pulled her hand back in disgust and wiped the mucus off with a handkerchief.
That's why we are hiring you, the Admiral continued. The Wraith jerked in his restraints, a low growl emanating from its throat. His white eyes flashed at Jin, and she saw accusation and rage there. He was being tortured for the information that Jin was going to give the Empire. Now, now, the Admiral admonished, and an interrogation droid zoomed into view. The Wraith whimpered,
but his hate-filled eyes bored into Jin. Admiral Rockwin turned to Jin.
You asked about payment, she said in a cool voice. I think we've come to an understanding.
Yes, Jin whispered. Her payment was her freedom. Her payment was to escape the fate of this Raeth. The Imperial presence on Five Point Station had been something of a joke, if Jin was honest. Commander Solange had sullied herself, her rank, and her authority by entering the gambling halls. This new admiral, however, had reinstated the terror and subservience the Empire demanded, merely by her presence.
How does the Empire keep finding such horrible people? Jin wondered, looking at the emaciated body of the Raeth.
This particular partisan group is rather obtusely anti-human, the admiral continued, her gaze sliding over to Jin. We have paid a contact to recommend you highly, and they have made an exception for you.
I have worked with groups like that before, Jin said. She tried hard to focus on the admiral's impartial gaze, not on the Raeth watching, listening.
The admiral raised a brow. No doubt. The words were delivered as an insult, and inexplicably, Jin felt her cheeks reddening. The admiral waved her hand in a dismissive gesture. Take care of the details, she said to Commander Solange, dismissing them. Commander Solange turned immediately and headed out of the room. Jin hesitated only a moment, then followed on her heels.
Now, where were we?
The admiral asked the Raeth just before the door slid shut. Jin could hear the Raeth's screams through the walls. They chased her down the hall, and they still rang in her ears as Commander Solange led Jin back to her office to go over the final details of the assignment.